This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 107. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. From epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, science fiction too, we've got it all for you with the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy and sci-fi book world. Starting off with my own personal update, I'm super excited to say that tomorrow, on May 5th, I will be releasing Huntress Scout. It's book 4 in the Huntress Clan saga, and this is my favorite book in the series so far, with a surprise new character I'm pretty sure my readers and fans are going to really enjoy. I'm also hard at work on book 5, Huntress Adept, and hope to have that ready for the editor in a week or so. You can find out more information about everything I'm up to by visiting my fan and reader group over on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. That's over there on Facebook, and you'll find I do a lot of things over there. I run contests. We talk not just about my books, but all sorts of fantasy books that we all enjoy reading, and we have contests and a lot of good stuff, so come on by. Also, you can check out my blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. In this episode, I get to chat with author Dawn Chapman again. She was on the show in the past last year talking about her Patera Online series. She is a person who has a background in writing for films and TV, but she came to find that novels were really her passion. And this time, we get her back in to talk about a brand new series in her partnership with Mountaindale Press. You might remember Mountaindale Press from our interview with Dakota Kraut a few months ago. So check out this episode. We're going to be talking about Dawn's new book, Winter Harvest, and what else she has planned moving forward. Hi, Dawn. Welcome back to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me again.
Well, no, I saw you had a new book out, and it's doing gangbusters, and I thought it would be great to have you back on and talk about that a little bit. So why don't we start off? There's probably some folks that haven't listened to the other episode from last year, so yep. Why don't you jump in and just give us a quick overview of who you are and your background and stuff you write.
Yeah, no problem. My name's Dawn. I'm from the UK. And I've been writing on and off probably since I was about 6 years of age. So I think I turned to script writing in about 2005, went to film school and then carried on from there. Originally, I used to write all kinds of little stories as a kid and obviously a teenager. My first novel was 170,000 words at 16, which was one of them that never went anywhere, but it's still something. It's an achievement. Other than that, I kind of went back to prose because script writing and film is very, very difficult to get into. And a friend said, why don't you try turning one of your film scripts back into a story? So that's where I kind of went back into prose writing. And I've been writing books ever since, so never been back to scripts.
And you do a great job of it. I mean, it was great having you on before, but then I saw you just released the first book in a new series, Winter Harvest. And yep. I have to say, it is just an amazing book in so many ways.
Thank you. It's doing well. It's getting some really nice comments. So I'm very happy with the progress.
Oh, well, and the thing is, and I told you this before we started recording, but the first chapter had me tearing up. I mean, it's so emotional. And just, you know, if you want to give us a quick overview of what the story is about and what the world in which it exists is like.
Well, the world it exists in basically is there's an alien race thousands and thousands of light years away that are threatening the planet. So the only way that Earth eventually, when they got out there, that realized that there was a threat, the only way they could get people to go out and fight there rather than sending colony ships, which takes forever, was to send people across virtually. But sending trained soldiers virtually is really, really difficult because there's not that many of them for a start. So the best way they could think of was to try and entice people thinking it was a game, get them to volunteer. Eventually the volunteers start running out and they start using homeless people and prisoners and basically anyone off the streets. And then obviously as it gets further and further, they start taking school kids who they say failed their exams when technically they didn't. So that's what happens to Kyle. He's basically told he's failed his exams. He's got to go out to fight this war. And that's kind of where the book starts off. So.
Yeah. And the thing that's most shocking is, you know, basically it's a death sentence because they basically terminate life here on Earth. And then virtually send his mind somewhere else, but he's dead for as far as his family's concerned. It's heartbreaking.
I tried to build characters in that people would like as well, like his best friends and his little love interest. He's not his girlfriend, but somebody that he's really interested in. And hopefully that you'll see that as the series progresses, that some of these things might come back in the future. So.
I was hoping that because I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, like you really see all the things he's going to miss. And, you know, he finds out he fails and they basically give him 7 hours to clean up his life and then, submit to the lethal injection.
Yeah, he never thinks at all that it's going to happen because he's so smart. It's like, there's no way that this is ever going to, you know, and his friends, oh, where are you going to college or uni? What are you doing afterwards? And they're all laughing about it. It's such a good place for him to be. And then he suddenly just gets told, no, that's it, out.
Well, it's a great premise and I love it. And, you know, it's another, I think, big hit as far as I'm concerned for you and Lit RPG. And a little bit different because Puaterra Online was about an NPC character.
Yes.
So this is a little different in the sense that it's more, you know, the main character kind of a progression.
Yeah, it's, I wanted to, I'm a sci-fi writer for the most part. I really like sci-fi anyway. From taking Puaterra and being in sort of like Maddie's head as a character and then wanting to write something more sci-fi, I chose obviously to write the male character point of view, which some people think women can't write, but obviously, you know, you research, you get proper beta readers and people to help you along the way so that it feels as realistic as possible. And I chose the sci-fi setting because there's not a lot in Lit RPG, especially which are like sci-fi or space opera in general. So there's a few, I think there's a few Russian novels and perhaps I think James Hunter might have, I think it's more a dungeon core or cultivation, I'm not quite sure. Inheritance, I think it's called, but there's not a lot. So I'm kind of hoping that this will also bring in a lot of science fiction writers that will go, oh, this looks really interesting. What's this? And it will bring more into the genre in general, just like I did with Maddie. So that was my initial goal.
Well, and I like the idea of doing sci-fi. I mean, I'm reading this and I'm going, wow, wouldn't it be fun to do something like a StarCraft version, you know, kind of, I need another project. Like,
Yes, okay. There's like so many ideas, there's not enough time.
There isn't. I mean, that's the challenge is people are like, what are you writing next? And I mean, I'm really enjoying the current series I'm writing, but it's,
cool.
You know, there's so many things I want to get. Like, I want to get back to my Lit RPG series. People keep asking me when I'm going to do another accidental book. And I just like, I've got the plot thought through. I just need to get the time in my schedule to do it.
Yeah, I'm scheduling like right up until I think I've got 2022 locked down and I think I'm going into 2023 now. And I'm like, oh no, please.
It's so hard. I mean,
it is. And
I think people don't understand. I mean, we really do. I mean, most of us, most authors I know have a ton of ideas, a ton of stories that they want to write. Because it used to be a question I got was, where do you come up with the stories? Coming up with the stories is the problem. Coming up with the time to write them is.
Yeah. You always get people questioning and it'd be like, oh, I've got this great idea. Do you think anybody will want to write it and all this? And I'm like, nah, we've got a million ideas ourselves. Love you, got no chance.
Write it yourself.
Exactly. Just learn the basics. You'll be fine. Just give it a shot.
That's great. Oh, that's great. So you've got, now you're releasing these pretty close together. It looks like the next one's coming out in May. Are you kind of doing those every month or so?
Yeah, it's scheduled for every month. I think originally when I spoke to you last year, I think I'd literally only just started writing the series. So I wrote it all last year. So the whole series was written and finished last year. I signed with Mountaindale Press in June. I spoke to Dakota in Kansas City when I was in Kansas City. Then went to Scotland with them through June. And then they signed me just in Scotland. So and then sort of like it's been a roller coaster working with other people as well, as you know, obviously have my own ideas and things as well. So,
and Dakota's great. I mean, they're just fantastic people to work with. Everything I've heard is just, you know, top flight there. So I'm sure you're happy with that process too.
Yeah, it's been the process itself hasn't really differed from my own, because I've always put a lot of developmental editing, copy editing, and a lot of effort into the novels themselves. Obviously, like with Patero, it's pretty obvious there's real effort gone into them. So the fact is that going with Dakota and having Dakota's team and that behind me as well has really boosted sort of like the actual just the novels in general. It just on the whole, with having extra people to read and help out, and especially with the maths, because this is lit RPG, this is really heavy sort of game mechanics. And so it was difficult at first, because you just get one thing wrong and then the whole thing just goes, because all the maths just doesn't add up for the rest of the book. So it's been really good having a couple of extra people on board to help sort that out. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, keeping the numbers straight is not my best thing, and I would give it. Well, I co-wrote the series, an accidental series, with my son, so he would check my
numbers. That's cool.
And we both give it to my wife, and she creates spreadsheets and like make sure everything added up every chapter.
Yeah,
because otherwise we'd be, you know, like, well, you can't level up yet. You didn't do enough experience last chapter, and I'm like, oh.
I didn't have spreadsheets until I was with Dakota. I actually just had everything in a notebook, but as soon as it was like, it was really obvious that there was something wrong at the beginning. So it was like, no, let's go through it properly. And it took me 4 weeks, solid 4 weeks. I've got, because obviously I'd already written the books, the first two. So it was a case of having to go through the whole two books and then start doing all the maths properly from start to finish, which is obviously where we're at with the series now. It's everything. So once you've got it automated and you're kind of on a roll, book three and book four were like so much easier. It's crazy. So.
Wow, you'll have to do a thing on spreadsheets for authors.
Oh no, thank you. No. That's somebody that understands maths, that one.
That's great. So how many books are in this series? Space Seasons series.
Yeah, well, technically it is. I called it Space Seasons because there are four seasons.
Okay.
So there's four books. I think it's just over 500,000 words for the whole series. So they're quite decent sized books. The first one's a little bit bigger than the middle two, just over 115-120k, and then the last one jumps back up to 140 plus. But I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything, but there might be more, who knows. I'm not 100% sure yet, we'll see. If people love it and they want more, then I've got plenty of ideas as
Well, it's a bestseller already, and it's only been out, what, a week or so? So that's pretty exciting.
Since Friday, it's doing pretty good.
that's awesome, though. I'm so excited for you. I love seeing people I know, you know, like have great success and write fantastic books. There's a lot of great books out there, but people don't always find them. So it's great to see, you know, somebody get found or, you know, found again, because you've had success before.
Yeah, I think what really surprised me was with the promotion in the groups was actually seeing people mention Patera as well. It's like, oh, she done wrote Patera. It's like, if I'm going to have to get this because I've read the Patera and loved it. And it was like, so it's really nice to get that extra confirmation that people out there have read it, even though you don't always recognize that people are reading your stuff. It's and of course, the eighth book, the audio book, got nominated for the Independent Audio Awards again. So I know we're not going to get there this year, but Andrea Parsnow is obviously fantastic, and she's got quite a few nominations again for the so
she's amazing. Just incredible.
I know. Yeah, I've been very lucky to have so many fantastic people on board for all of the work that I've done. So, and with this, the new series, Neil Heliger's has just been amazing. He's worked so hard because it's been so fast to do these books one after the other. It was difficult to schedule in it. It was like, how many words are in these books? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, they're quite big. And he's like, okay. So that was quite interesting.
Oh, wow. I hadn't noticed the audiobooks out too. That's incredible. I was reading the ebook, but I'm going to get the audiobook.
Neil does a really good job. We kind of were looking for somebody that would do a really good kind of military kind of sort of vibe to everything. And he's got a really nice gruff voice, which just really resonates with that kind of style. So he does sound really good.
Excellent. So you aren't going to give me any spoilers, but is there anything you can tell us about what's next on your plate? Is there a project you're working on now that you can maybe hint at what you're doing? Or
I do have another series idea. It's a 7-book series, which I'm going to be working on. I've got literally, I think we're just going to finalize some stuff for book 4. So maybe sort of this month's a bit tied up, and then I've got 7 books that I want to write. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Also lit RPG sci-fi or something different?
I'm not 100% sure yet, because it can go either way. I kind of want to take it still to the sci-fi side, but we'll see. It's either going to be... Okay. There's the parrot. There we go.
There's the parrot. Room. We knew the parrot was going to chime in, because yeah, the parrot chimed in the last time, I think.
Too. I think he did as well, yeah. So... yeah, but the next series is either going to be kind of fantasy Western, or it's still going to be Western, but sci-fi Western. So that's the kind of vibe I want to go for. I'm just not sure yet.
Excellent. Well, actually, I think that sci-fi Western would be fun too. So that could be a lot. There's so much to do. Like we said before, there's a ton of stories and a ton of great genres out there to write in. So
there
fantastic.
Is.
So where's a good place for folks to catch up with you if they want to reach out and like contact you? Because I know you're active on Facebook or
your
website. Is there anything else that you like to kind of use? Discord, I think you have.
Yes, I have Discord. You can find me anywhere on Facebook or any of the actual Gamelit Society group or any of the others. But my Discord, if you really want to kind of chat to me. I don't really do private messages on Facebook and things like that because I get so many. So I'd prefer it to be in a setting where there's other people. If you ask a question, then other people get to hear what I talk about and things as well. So, and I always say that to writers as well, if they actually want to talk about writing and craft and things like that, because I've got a lot of writers in my group. It's nice to share to actually for all of us. And then I'm not specifically just trying to talk to one person. It's always a group of people so that everyone benefits then if I'm talking craft and things like that, which obviously people do like to talk about as well.
Well, I think it's not only writers. I find a lot of readers ask me a lot of questions about how I write and you know, where the characters come from and things like that. So I think people just want to kind of, it's like you don't know how the car works, but you still like to lift up the look at the engine, right? I guess you guys call it the bonnet.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah, we do. Discord's really good because there's a lot of the lit RPG authors around on Discord. There's a lot of groups. So no matter what time of day, whether you can't sleep or you're having a bit of a bad day, there's always someone to talk to and you can always find someone in the groups. And we all find that that's a really good, especially now with what's going on in the world with COVID. So it's really nice to just have people there. And we found as well the last sort of, because they have screen sharing, I think they're starting up with video chat, but they have voice channels. So it's nice to actually just sit in a voice channel and have people drop in and say hi and things like that as well. Listen to music. So Discord's really good for all of those things.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I know it's funny as an author, the COVID being stuck at home thing isn't such a big deal for me because I'm always home. But it is different having my wife here all the time and my daughter's not able to work. So she's home.
Oh no.
So it's it's a challenge from that sense. It's just more people around than I'm used to.
My husband's actually a key worker. So unfortunately for us, he brought COVID home for us. So we've actually both been very poorly for the last month. I'm actually better now, which is another reason why I kind of wanted to get better for my launch. And it was like, I'm kind of doing okay. But then it's like, I have sort of moments where I think, oh no, I feel sick again. But yeah, it's definitely not been a nice month for anyone, even just like regular people at home. So
it's hard. I can imagine. I can only imagine. I knew you weren't feeling well. I wasn't sure if you'd had COVID or not, but I was kind of wondering if that was what was going on. You said in your dedication, you made a comment about all the people helped you through 2019, which was, you said, was a rough year. Hopefully 2020 is going better for you.
Yes, it kind of started off okay, but then obviously with COVID, it just kind of went down again. But I mean, every year, you know, we get trials and tribulations. We just have to rise above it, and it's really nice to have the community around us that does do that. And without the guys keeping me going, it wouldn't be the same. So I'm very thankful for the groups of Discord and the Facebook groups for that. So
yeah, well, I know, and you know, 2019 had challenges, but it seems like a lot of good things happened for you in 2019 too. I mean, you got together with Dakota.
I got to meet you as well. I got to meet you.
Yes, see? We got to see each other in Kansas City, and that was amazing. Yeah. You know, it's exciting to get you back on the show. I urge people to go out and get Winter Harvest, whether on ebook or in paperback or in audiobook format, whatever. I will tell you, be ready. Keep a box of tissues handy for chapter one. It is a little rough on the emotional, especially as emotional as we all are right now. But
yeah, that's true. That is true, actually. It is, yeah. I think people feel a little bit more at the minute.
All the feels, but it's all there. That's because it's really well written, and you're just going to feel the emotions of this guy, Kyle, as he goes into this new life that he's got to live. I'm not kind to him.
No, it's not.
And I'm looking forward to finding out what else happens to him. I just started getting through it. So, Dawn, thanks so much for coming on. It's great to have you on the show.
Yep.
I hope people reach out and get your books, all your books, which are amazing.
thank you.
But definitely check out Winter Harvest.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you come up and catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focus community, both on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also, while you're over there, don't forget, on each podcast episode post, there are links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for iOS, Android, even by email. Make sure you do that. You don't want to miss any of the episodes. We have some pretty awesome authors already scheduled for the next few months, and you won't want to miss any of them. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book just for signing up for my newsletter while you're there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here to the next podcast. And in the meantime, remember to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.